Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two absolutely fantastic guests. We have Micah Sargent and Tom Bridge. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Thank you both for joining me. I am super excited. And Micah, why don't you let people know where they can find you on the internet?
Sure. First of all, I have to say that is the best introduction I think I've ever heard. it's so good. The podcast repetition there is fantastic.
Thank you.
Of course. If you're looking for me online, most of the time I'm gabbing on Twitter at Micah Sargent. But if you want links to the too many podcasts that I do where I write online and all of the other things, you can go to a website. I'm not joking. It really is this. Go to chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee, and that'll have links to all the things I do.
Yes, your website link is by far the absolute best one on the internet.
Aw, thanks. I have to thank my boss Rene Ritchie for that. He's just in one of the iMore show episodes, he's like, oh, you should get chihuahua.coffee. And I was like, I'm doing it right now.
The best domain names are totally like that.
Yes.
And you always will remember it. Everyone will
exactly.
always remember. Yeah.
I've learned I have to spell it, though, because I've had people like, how do you even spell chihuahua? So I started doing that for people.
It's chihuahua.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Tom, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and pretty much every social media service as T Bridge. I tend to be an early adopter, so I can stake out my name if nothing else. But that finds me on pretty much every major platform. And you can find my podcast, The Mac Admins Podcast, at podcast.macadmins.org.
Brilliant. All right. Since we're talking about podcasts, let's get started. Micah, how did you start listening to podcasts?
Well, I plugged in a pair of headphones into my phone. I put them in my ears and I hit play. I'm just kidding. So I spent some time thinking about this, sort of like crawling very carefully back through my past to try and remember where and when it was that I was listening to podcasts for the first time. And it was a happy accident. I was a big like music listener. Anytime I did something, anytime I had some activity to do that didn't require sort of the more intelligent parts of my brain, then I would be listening to music while I was doing those things, like mowing the lawn and washing dishes and things like that. So one year in high school, I got a brief summer job working for my school district, and me and a crew of others would climb up on top of the roofs of these school buildings in our district and paint this metallic paint onto the top of the roofs. And what it did was reflect the sunlight and therefore reflect the heat and reduce the school district's heating and cooling bills. Yeah. So that was quite the task and quite the sort of repetitive task. And those days got long and it was hot because it was during the summer. And I needed something to keep my mind busy because we often worked in sort of different quadrants across the whole span of the roof. So it wasn't like I had someone to talk to pass the time. And I, of course, like I've always been into technology. And I can't remember how I came across a show, but maybe a friend of mine was talking about it. But I started looking around for tech podcasts and I downloaded a few and was like, oh my goodness, this is the stuff that I'm already reading whenever I get home. And I get home and log onto the internet. I'm looking at my rest in peace, Google Reader, my Google Reader feeds. So now I can sort of like get caught up during the day. This is awesome. And the rest, as they say, is history because I just kept listening to podcasts from there.
Do you remember what those first tech podcasts were that you found and started listening to?
Yeah, it was actually This Week in Tech and MacBreak Weekly. So that would have meant, and I don't remember it now, but that definitely would have meant that I was listening to Rene Ritchie long before I ever actually knew him. this is literally the moment where I'm realizing that, so I'm going to have to tell him. I was listening to you when I was in high school and thinking about like going into tech one day.
I'm sure that will make him feel very young.
Very
and
young?
Spry. Yes. All right, Tom, what about you?
I got started, and it's entirely NPR's fault. And so my day job is I'm an IT consultant. I support Macs for medium and large businesses here in the greater DC area. And so I spend a lot of time in my car driving back and forth. And our local NPR station is WAMU here in, 88.5 here in Washington, DC. And I'm a subscriber. I'm just going to put that out there, even though what I'm going to tell you is 100% true. They changed their lineup around, and they stopped having the second hour of Morning Edition play from 8 to 9, or from 9 to 10, rather. And they would change it up, and we would get the BBC World Service. And while I'm usually all the way on board with the BBC World Service, this version of it is just terrible. And so I started looking around for other things to listen to. And for a very brief one-day period, I listened to sports talk radio instead. I will never make that mistake again. But, I tried. Wacky morning DJs just didn't do it for me either. And so I started to look around online for other content. This had to have been, 2009, 2010, someplace in there. And so I started to look around for other things to listen to. And I remember, finding some early podcasts that are long since gone. There were a couple of local podcasts here in DC that were produced by some local folks. And it was really fun to kind of listen in on the local news and the story behind the story for a lot of the music scene that's here, the sports scene that's here. And it was a lot of fun to listen to some of those. They weren't very, they certainly don't match the production quality we're capable of today. But they were certainly much more earnest. And it was a real joy to kind of listen to some of those early NPR efforts out of WAMU to kind of, bridge the gap between the content that they had and the content that they were going to. I kind of fell in love with some tech podcasts. I fell in love with, original fiction podcasts. I'm a huge Welcome to Night Vale fan. All hail the Glow Cloud. I remember we took a road trip out west. We were visiting Oregon and drove the Oregon coast listening to Welcome to Night Vale, like back to back to back to back. And it really is Rod Serling's Prairie Home Companion. So it was a real joy to kind of experience things that way. And from there on out, I was just totally hooked.
Well, I can confirm that the Oregon coast is the best coast, being an Oregonian myself, whether or not you're listening to Welcome to Night Vale during that drive. But that is not what this podcast is about. What made you actually want to start making podcasts, and what were your first podcasts that you made?
Okay, let's see. So I was in college at the time, and I started working at a company called Newsy. I was an anchor and video producer and writer there, and a friend of mine was going through the journalism program at the time, and so he started working as what is it called? An intern. That's the term. An intern for us, and we had always talked about tech on and off, and ended up having him write tech stories for me and things like that. And so during that period, we had this realization that we listened to a lot of the same podcasts and kind of really wanted to make one of our own. We got to talking about it over and over again and sort of, hey, maybe we'll have time, maybe we'll have time. And I think it was just like one time whenever we were away from school, we're like, all right, let's just make this happen. And I have a background in graphic design, and all good podcasts start with an idea and some artwork, right?
Yeah.
So I made up some artwork for the show. We decided to call it Integrate, and we started doing that thing. And we made it was a tech show about sort of how you can integrate technology into your life. So it, involved automation and smart home tech and just the whole kit and caboodle, as it were. And it was a good time. And sort of from there, I caught the podcast bug and over time started doing other podcasts as well. But yeah, that was the first one that I created and edited. You know, he and I switched back and forth. So that was certainly the first time that I was, you know, fully in and making it happen. So it was a good, it was a fun time.
That is fun. Especially, I mean, that's a common conversation, I feel like, is someone talks to someone else and they want to talk about something with a larger audience, whether that's just your buddies listening in or your mom downloading it after you show them how to get it on their phone. But
yes, after you send the link around, like, okay, so all you have to do is tap that link and hit the subscribe button.
Just click the link. Just that's all you got to do. Just click the link. What? Yeah.
I won't even be upset if you don't listen every week, but just hit that link.
Just get it automatically on your phone. Get that subscribers numbers up, right? That's
yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Please like and subscribe.
Oh, it's so just, funny. I love it.
And, you know, and leave a comment down below.
I would settle just for the comments and the reviews, to be quite honest, because I mean the subscriber numbers are a whole lot of fun, but I've written for large audiences before, and it's you end up a slave to the numbers a little bit, and that is less of something that I enjoy doing. You know, I mean, we're a fairly small podcast. We've got a really niche audience. We're dealing with people that are administrators for fleets of Macs and, or consultants who do the same kind of thing. And I really don't want to get caught up thinking about, a lot of the subscriber numbers. What I really want to get caught up on is like, hey, if I can get this really cool guest, or if I can get this really, you know, fun interview and stuff like that, it's so much more enjoyable to me to think about that and let the numbers build themselves. And, you know, that's why I look at my Libsyn stats about like once a quarter.
Yes. That's the nice thing about being part of a network, is that, yes, I could access them, but I don't want to access them. Like, I don't ever have to, like, see the technical side. I just upload the FTP and I follow the instructions and I get it loaded and it's done. And magically things happen and people talk to me, and I love the de-stress because I'm very much a numbers person. So I would be obsessing about the numbers, but now I have to bother the great Jason Snell. I don't want to bother him about stupid numbers.
See, and I think, and there are going to be people who disagree with this. Well, I mean, of course, that everyone disagrees,
right? Right.
with this particular thing. But I really do think that you are doing it wrong if all you're worried about is the numbers. Like, the shows that I enjoy, the shows that I've chosen to do and the shows that I enjoy doing, I enjoy them because of the project itself or the people with whom I'm speaking. It has nothing to do with the numbers or the ads or this or that or the other. Like, those things help whenever you sort of look at your week and say, oh my gosh, I've got to devote X hours to podcasts this week. But at least I know that, like, there's a reason for that. Yeah. But when it comes to just, you know, the simple enjoyment of the thing and the reason why you're doing it, I really think that you can tell the difference between a podcast, or rather a group of hosts, or, you know, however many number it is. You can tell the difference between those that are doing it just for the numbers and those that are there to, like, share this thing that they're passionate about or have a good time or explain or educate or whatever it happens to be.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's been the nice thing with the Mac Admins podcast is that there's, I don't know, seven of us who can host that podcast on any given week. And, you know, we might have three or four, depending upon how big the panel is. And it's so nice to get, you know, people so that they're, I mean, I'm a pretty constant presence. Charles is a pretty constant presence. And we kind of rotate through with our hosts because that lets everybody come in fresh. And it's so nice when we get people who've been off for a month and, you know, have been like deep in the weeds of something and want to come talk about it. And that is the best feeling ever.
Yes.
Agreed.
So true. All right. Now that we've sidetracked, let's get back on the main track. Tom, what made you want to actually start making a podcast, and what was the first podcast that you made?
So the first podcast that I made was my friend Elliot and I talking about pop culture. And we'd both been watching Sons of Anarchy for a while and really just felt like we needed to talk it out, with a couple of things that happened towards the middle of the arc of that show. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody because it's a good show and you should at least watch the first three or four seasons, maybe not the last two. And it was just good. We just needed to talk it out. And I don't think maybe but 10 people ever downloaded those. And I guarantee you I was related to half of them. And that was how we got started. I bought some equipment. I bought the mic that I'm using now, and a mixer and a whole bunch of stuff. And we actually didn't do it over the internet. My friend Elliot lives here in D.C. and we'd set it up in the living room and like do this so that we were talking to each other. I did radio in college. I was the music director of WDUB in Granville, Ohio, my junior year of college into my senior year. And it was a lot of fun. And I miss that world where you've got a show and you're actually out there performing. So it was a real joy to kind of put that together. And then a couple of friends and I, we started a blog back in 2008 called We Love DC. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun to do a local podcast themed around the local stories and themed around, you know, some of the pieces, and then do like a live recording of a band. And we made it about three episodes before we figured out that the production costs on this alone were going to make us not just cash negative, but like way cash negative. And so, you know, we thought, well, that was fun. Maybe if we ever get a grant, we'll do it again. And, you know, unfortunately, We Love DC closed in April of 2015. And, you know, we got a good solid 8 years out of it. And it was a real joy to put that together. We were writing stuff. You know, it's the same reason you do anything. You don't see your own voice out there in the world. And so you seek to find an audience to kind of share your thoughts. And it's a very human impulse. It's a very natural impulse. And we were pretty good at doing the writing part and maybe not so good at doing the audio part. But it was a real learning opportunity for all of us in terms of it gave us so much more respect for the people in radio news and in radio events and all of the things you need to do to make a half hour broadcast work. That was just so eye opening for me. And gave me such an appreciation for the producer's role in all of that.
Oh, I bet. Especially when you tried doing that in-person work and you're just like, nope, this is... And being aware enough to recognize the fact that that wasn't going to work and not doing it anymore, as opposed to trying to make it work as you go deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole.
Well, I mean, if the West Wing taught me anything, the first rule of being in a hole is that you stop digging.
Yes.
And, you know, then maybe you find a friend who's been in that hole before and can get you back out. But, you know, I was glad we figured that out early.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Now the final podcasting question before we go to the bonus round. Micah, what is your favorite podcast? In parentheses.
Oh.
So you can have multiple.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. And why?
Okay. So I'm going to start with one that is not as obvious as the other one, I think. The one that I just recently came across, it's from Popular Science, and it is called The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. Now, this podcast is, first of all, I have no idea how I didn't end up at Popular Science, because the things that they write about there are so much, like, they pretty much just spend their time looking around on the internet for weird things to teach people. And I love teaching weird things to people, like coming across weird facts and then talking about them for hours. Like, let me tell you about how tattoos work and the way that your white blood cells get clogged in your skin. Like, it's all of this incredible stuff. And so they get to talk about that all the time. But The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week, editors from Pop Sci, they come together and they all pitch a topic that they didn't get to talk about on the site, that they didn't get to write for the site, or that maybe they came across while they were covering something else. And they'll sort of give their little pitch and go down the line, and then they'll decide like who gets to go first, who seemingly has the weirdest thing. Then they'll go into detail about their topic, the next person will, and at the end they vote for the weirdest thing of all. And let me just like some of the recent episodes. involved the world's best dog, which of course that was like written for me.
Oh my.
Mushrooms that eat animals.
Yes.
The first underwater video, which involved a man, a dead horse, and punching a shark. And corpses doing yoga are like just some of the weirdest things, stories that are there.
Oh my goodness.
This show is so incredible. I love it so much. I love learning all this weird stuff and then like watching my friends roll their eyes while I spout all of it off to them because I want everyone to know about all the weirdest things. So that one takes my top spot because every time a new episode comes out, I immediately listen to it. And then the other one that I'm going to talk about is called Most Important Meal. This is a podcast by Brian Hamilton and Truge, which is what Truge likes to go by. And the two of them, they're a couple, and the two of them talk about breakfast and sort of surrounding culture and surrounding topics. And so they call it a very good breakfast journalism podcast, I think is the tagline. And it's just so wonderful. So you think it's just about breakfast, and then you listen to it and their dynamics, the way that the two of them work together and how hilarious they are and how adorable they are at times, and just the fun topics that like you have just as many moments where you're going, yes, I agree. And then the next moment you're going, no, you're so wrong.
So wrong.
Who knew that breakfast and surrounding topics could be so polarizing? And so that's why I love Most Important Meal. And then also shout out to Truge, who she's also a graphic designer and did the artwork for the show, which is one of my favorite pieces of podcast artwork that exists.
And if you are lucky enough to meet Brian and or Truge in person, chances are they will probably have the most amazing stickers with them. But if not, they are so delightful in person. They're exactly the same together as they are on the podcast. They are two of my most favoritest humans in the entire world. And if you are a member of The Incomparable, you can actually go back and listen to the pilot episode of Friends in Your Ears that I did with the both of them. So check that out. Links in the show notes. Hey, look at that promotion. And we will not get into the other topic of Most Important Meal, but listen to the most recent episode of Most Important Meal and know that I am on the complete opposite side of Micah, and stay tuned for an episode coming in the future where we will battle it out. Yes.
Okay, now I have to listen to this.
It's very controversial. That's all I'm going to say.
Understood?
It's controversial in like whenever you say controversial in our modern world,
right,
that means one thing. This is just, I'm just very weird. It's just weird.
Well, Truge is on your side too.
And yes, exactly.
Yeah, which is why we both need to go on so that Brian has someone to get his back. But
he needs it.
I'm going to breathe deep now. And we're going to move on to Tom because I can't look at you anymore, Micah.
I'm not actually looking at you.
But on the internet, we're going to throw it to Tom. Tom, what is your favorite podcast?
I knew you. This is like picking between your children.
Yes.
Although I only have one child. So I.
That's why you can have more than one.
I mean, I'm going to have more than one, but I mean, there are two in specific that I want to talk about, because the first one is the one that I listen to immediately. Whenever it's in my client, it's like the best day ever. And that's Make Me Smart with Kai Rizdahl and Molly Wood from American Public Media. And they take, it's like a 40-minute podcast. I mean, it varies in length. Sometimes it's as short as 30. Sometimes it's as much as an hour. And they deconstruct a really difficult topic, and a lot of the topics are economic. They did a whole series on capitalism and kind of what they're looking for in a term around ethical capitalism. which I thought was a really, really fascinating series. They have book clubs. They have all kinds of really great guests. I've learned so much about tariffs from listening to their podcast, which doesn't sound like a very exciting thing. And yet they make it exciting and really, really interesting. And both Kai and Molly have such an infectious desire to know that it really just turns the whole thing into a learning experience. And I wish that it was twice a week. I back American Public Media because of it. I back Marketplace because of it. And I'm a huge fan. So that's probably the first one. The second one is a little bit more esoteric. My friend Jay Bushman is a Mets fan who lives in Los Angeles. And he is also friends with Will Stegman, and Will Stegman is a Mets fan who lives in Los Angeles. And they host Flushing Transit Authority, which is a New York Mets podcast from the point of view of two lifelong New York Mets fans who live on the opposite coast from their team. And just some really, really interesting conversations, some really, really, you know, let's just say the Mets are not a great baseball team this year. Sorry, Jay. Sorry, Will. If you're hearing this, I apologize, but they're not good, guys. They're really just not good. And it's really interesting to kind of hear the baseball fandom in their voices come from a place of nostalgia and of being a developing kid who's fallen in love with this really great baseball team because the mid-80s Mets teams were so good. And it's just a real joy. Will told a really incredible story this spring about the time that he essentially ran out of school so that he could listen to the last inning of a no-hitter. And essentially it involves him escaping from the school and like pretending not to hear the nun who is screaming at him from across the playground. And it's so good. It's so, so good. I'll find the link just to that timestamp. And if you don't love his story there, the podcast is probably not for you. But even as a Washington Nationals fan, I came to really, really appreciate the deep connection that these two guys have to their New York Mets. And so it's always fun to listen to. I mean, it's a little less frequent now that the Mets have kind of lost the season. and it's not fun saying that when we're before the All-Star break. But here is that. That is definitely what I'm saying. but those two are kind of like my highlights. I mean, some other podcasts that I really, really enjoy. And now I've put Most Important Meal in that list. So yeah. I can't wait to hear more. I also love Anna Marie Cox's With Friends Like These from the Crooked Media Empire. She's a phenomenal journalist, and she was somebody who was writing about politics in D.C. when we were starting up We Love D.C., and somebody whose career I followed, you know, with great interest. She's a stitch, so that is definitely, you know, someone that I have really come to enjoy. And her take on the environment that we're in right now is one that I think is healthy and helpful. And she's elevating voices that are not like others. And I appreciate that immensely.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Love it. Love it. So I'm not a big sports ball person, but I will definitely listen to the story. And I may like subscribe to Flushing Transit Authority just to hear people talk about something that they're really, really passionate about.
Yeah, that's always nice, isn't it?
It really is. So nice. You don't have to care about what they're talking about to really like just get caught up in that emotion, like that feeling, which is really cool. I love that. All right, gentlemen, we are at the time.
Is it time?
Is there
music for this?
Like, no, how do we build up to it? Oh, that's a good idea. All right, note for self. Have the amazing Chris Breen create some sort of music for the build up for the major bonus question.
Yes.
All right. So it is the future and wars are abolished. You can no longer fight for things.
Okay.
Specifics don't matter. But how do countries settle their differences? What is the most interesting way that you can think of that countries have to settle their differences now that they can't murder each other?
I would say they have to race Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Ooh, nice.
And the person who gets to, because see, that's the thing about Madagascar hissing cockroaches is you can make them go forward across their little line of the trail, but it's kind of gross to touch a Madagascar hissing cockroach. And so occasionally you're going to get like a leader of a country who's like, I really can't touch it. And so maybe like the leader of Madagascar will win everything. Ooh. And they therefore will become the ruler of the entire world because of the Madagascar hissing cockroach.
Can you imagine the doping program that is going to get invented for all of this?
I mean, yes, it's like peanut butter, but with, I don't know, double the protein and some creatine and what else, whatever
genetic
else.
Genetic engineering.
Yes. Oh my goodness, you get these. See, oh, but okay, so this is what's going to happen is these Madagascar hissing cockroaches over time are going to turn into these giant monsters like Godzilla sized. And then the world's going to have to come together to defeat the Madagascar hissing cockroaches. And so there will be no disagreements anymore because we'll all have to work together to defeat this common enemy.
This is a future I can get behind.
I love this. I think this is I think you're onto something, Micah, and I strongly endorse your proposal.
Thank you. What is your proposal, Ambassador Tom?
And I am a sports ball person, but I think sports ball is not the right solution for all of these things. I actually think that the best answer for this is a giant Plinko board.
Oh,
leave it up to Lady Chance.
That's right. And I mean, there's skill involved in some Plinko. I mean, we say it's chance. Is it chance? Who knows? But I think that there's some skill. There's some thought. You kind of want to, you know, you control the descent of the Plinko token through the first slot. And, you know, depending upon spin, depending upon, you know, I can't wait to read like all of the dissections of Plinko games.
Yeah. Greatest minds are going to get so involved with this. There'll be like tomes upon tomes about where, you know, country A dropped their token and how that resulted in, I don't know, the end of apples being allowed in the United States or something.
Exactly. I'm down for this. I'm really ready for the giant Plinko board. And I think that unless there is the giant sad trombone sound from Price is Right involved in this, I'm going to feel sad if that's not the case. So
obviously,
we definitely need the sad trombone.
That will be a requirement when we submit the petition.
Yeah, that's got to play a part.
Oh, man. Both fantastic answers. I am so proud of both of you guys.
Kathy, you have to have one, right?
You know, I always just think of like rock, paper, scissors. Just plain and simple, full ceremonial dress. Like, to come into the official ring.
Can there be cameras sort of like zooming in and out on the, like, so people can see it all over the country?
Yes,
it's like a match
course.
That's streamed.
And they do it facing away from each other.
Oh,
so
snap.
It's on, like, there's no that half second before you drop it, like, to choose your...
Right, like, you don't get to see that,
Not I saying bet you that it... I have a history of that, because that is so
cheater.
No.
I bet their hands would be insured for, like, millions of dollars.
Yes.
These are our official rock, paper, scissor, I don't know, computers, so their hands have to be insured.
Yes.
And if you lose, I don't know, if you lose a hand, then they have to find somebody else. Can you imagine, instead of, like, the Olympics that you know, you spend your life training for the Olympics and then you get chosen, there's, like, a certain subset of the United States and other countries where you spend your whole life training to be a rock, paper, scissor.
Yeah, and right before you go against whatever country you're going against, you're studying videos of what they've chosen for previous competitions.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
Now, to be fair, though, I don't know. Plinko is probably the least warlike of the ones that, like, ours are still sort of kind of battles.
Yeah, but nobody dies.
Plinko is the most. That's true. No. Okay, so no death involved in the decision making. Gotcha.
I'm
the
down
cockroaches
with this.
Will live forever.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, gentlemen, both so much for joining me on this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com. We are part of the amazing Incomparable Network. You can find us on Twitter at Friends in Ears. our individual Twitter handles. Micah is at Micah Sargent. Tom is at T-Bridge. And I am at Mrs. Soup. And I hope you have an absolutely wonderful day. Go out there and train those Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Do it to it. Get those rock, paper, scissors fingers ready. You can do it.
Yes. And practice your Plinko moves.
Yep. Spin is everything, folks. Spin is everything.
Bye.